Good morning, Angela.
Morning.
Thanks very much for joining me. Now, you've been at the conference for the last few days, and just what's the overwhelming tone of the student media body from around the country?
Well, I think that's something that we all agreed upon. I think that was mentioned a lot, was the fact that we all realised that this was the one time in our lives that we would have full creative and editorial control over a magazine. Because obviously, you don't get that control in the mainstream media for a very long time. Often editors are 50, 40, whatever. And so we all agreed that it was, you know, a big responsibility for us to take on. And I think it was good to be around other editors who realized, you know, it was such a momentous task to carry out for an entire year, sometimes 2 years. And I think that with that, there was like a kind of like a sense of solidarity, because a lot of people agreed that, you know, they, their parents or their friends and stuff don't really understand student magazines. They don't really understand how much time it takes. And it was good to be around, you know, like-minded people who all agreed that it was a difficult task, but worthwhile. Yeah, there was definitely a tone of like, I mean, a lot of the questions were directed at like, you know, what do we do in this like post-truth kind of era, and what are our responsibilities? And I think a lot of the talk, despite being around general editorial, ended up being focused on how do we combat those kind of issues on a, you know, university level with SRCs and student unions and university bureaucracy and things like that. So it does filter down, and I think that's something that we all kind of learned along the way, well, throughout the conference as well.
Yeah. Well, looking to the bigger question, as someone who's heavily involved in student media and is looking to move into the media in the future, what do you think that the relevance of having a strong base in student journalism is? How important is it?
Well, we actually got the opportunity to sit down with editors who started at student magazines, and they basically were saying the same thing, that what I thought was interesting was one editor actually said, you know, a lot of these student politicians, they will go on to jobs in, you know, Parliament and the Senate and stuff like that. And it's great to have a record of, you know, how they acted as, you know, student politicians. And that was something I found really interesting, because we were with Honi Hua, and they were mentioning how, you know, you can look back on, you know, articles by Tony Abbott and Malcolm Turnbull and all the gossip and stuff like that, and you can kind of see, you know, this consistency in ideology and the way they acted and how it's kind of the same. Obviously, there are some blunders, like the Joe Hockey, you know, advocating for no student union fee, you know, things like that. But, yeah, it was really interesting. I think that's something that, you know, having future politicians to have something to be held accountable to is interesting. But also, I think that student media are really tough on student, you know, like SRCs and student unions and stuff like that. And I think it's an amazing training ground for both like student journalists and student politicians, because they're both getting something out of that scenario. And I think that's so important, obviously.
Mm. Yeah, well, I mean, definitely seems like that's, as you said, a fantastic training ground. Now, of course, sometimes student media does spill out into outside of just the student realm. Now, a big part of course, running your own magazine as a student, you're not necessarily as experienced, and there's a certain degree of idealism that's stamped onto sort of young journalists and things like that. As someone in student media, how do you look into getting yourself taken seriously in the broader sphere as someone so young?
Well, I think that comes with like how much time. I mean, sometimes, you know, a lot of student magazines will focus on, you know, culture or like outside politics, but there are some magazines, particularly obviously Honi Hua and Your Vertigos and things like that, who have more of a campus focus, and a lot of those things do end up filtering out. For example, I mean, in terms of Grapeshot, we had Village Party Central, which ended up blowing up into this, you know, thing that was covered by the ABC because it was, you know, sexual assault on campus, which concerns everyone. I know last week Honi Hua published the poem by Dylan Boller, who was involved in the Four Corners investigation into young Indigenous incarceration, things like that. So there are opportunities if you have that mindset going into your student magazine that you want to cover those ideas and you want to put resources towards them. You can break these ideas. You know, it's not something that is out of our realm or out of our touch. If anything, people are much more willing to speak to student journalists than they are to professionals, because they, you know, they kind of disregard it, but it can turn into serious, serious things. And I think, you know, it depends on what your focus as a magazine is, whether you, you know, you want to do the culture stuff, the outside political stuff, or you want to take on campus news, which some often does filter out into the real world.
I think that's quite interesting what you said about a lot of people are more willing to speak to student journalists because they have this idea that they're innocent and, you know, they're just doing a little student article and then boom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, then they're harmless.
Very covert work. Now, you guys got off to a flying start in 2017. You continued your online content even though you weren't releasing print magazines, and you released a lot of hard-hitting material, and of course you broke the huge story about an Islamophobic attack, which happened on Macquarie University's campus. The uni is returning in a few weeks' time. The print magazines will continue. What's coming from Grapeshot as we move into the new study year?
Well, I think there's two things that we want to focus on. One is basically that we want to have a more campus news focus. We want to break those stories. We want to be there. We want to cover them. So we obviously took on some new people for new positions like campus news editor, and our online has a more of a focus on that. Our other big thing is diversifying our contributors, making sure that Grapeshot is a voice for everyone rather than, say, myself as, you know, heterosexist white person writing about Indigenous affairs. We want to find Indigenous people to write about those issues. That's a big thing for us this year. So just in summary, it's focusing more on campus news and diversifying our contributor base and our audiences as well by that as a follow-on.
Right. Well, your first issue is themed Daddy. What does Daddy entail?
I think our university was like very shocked by the theme at first, but once it was explained, they kind of understood it. I think that in the current environment with Trump as president, we're reverting back to a lot of patriarchal values, and daddy isn't so much like a submissive thing. Like, it's kind of like we're taking that back. Like, you're not our daddy. Like, we, you know, that kind of stuff. Also, going into, obviously the themes always have a million different meanings. Going into you know, like, the idea of like the daddy in like gay culture, and then the idea of, you know, the daddy in terms of, you know, the sugar baby stuff, and how a lot of university students are reverting to that to make money, which can be empowering as well, which is kind of what we delve into. We also introduced a new section. It's our kind of like, we don't have a title for it yet, but it's basically the Louis Theroux column, and one of our journalists, Max Lewis, has actually gone undercover to investigate the Happy Science Church, which was a totally interesting read as an editor, because I just had no idea about this. So, yeah, covering like all sorts of content, but going back to the patriarchal values in which this world seems to be reverting back to, and that's kind of what we wanted to critique throughout.
Right. Well, Angela, thanks so much for joining me to have a chat. It's wonderful to hear that things are moving along so nicely and that everyone is so invigorated in the student journalism sphere, and that things are happening with the News Conference in Melbourne. Thanks very much for your time this morning.